So we are looking at our series called Last Words. So if you've got your Bibles, we're up to John chapter 14 in the church Bibles. I believe that is on page 1082, John chapter 14. And it's often the case that when people know that their time's limited on earth, that they want to put their affairs in order and they get things organized. It reminds me of a few years ago when Kate's dad passed away, and it was a week before he died, and we were around his bed. There was Kate, her sister, Sarah, Matthew, her brother, and myself. And it was a really special moment. Kate's dad was not particularly an emotional guy, and he was Scottish, and so that doesn't mean anything. Sorry, Scots, if you're out there. But he wasn't the most emotional guy, but he was really moving. He turned to me first, actually, and he said to me, "Johnny, I love you, and you've been like a son to me." And I was really touched by that. Most of you know that my father just passed away on Christmas Day, and I can't really say I remember my real father saying that to me. So that was very emotional to have Kate's dad say that to me. And then he went on to Kate and said something really lovely, and then Sarah, and then Matthew. And then he gave us these instructions. He said, "Look after Mum, will you?" That was his final instructions. And over the last few weeks, we've been thinking about Jesus. He knows that his time on earth is limited on his earthly ministry. It's coming to an end because the plan that the Father has for him is coming into being. And it's as if in these last 24 hours or so, he wants to remind his disciples of the most important things. They've been with him 3 years, and he knows that they're going to forget some of the things. He knows that they're going to get confused about others, but these are the most important things. And a couple of weeks ago, we saw that at the dinner table, that Jesus, it says that Jesus was going to show them the full extent of his love. And what he does is something amazing. He takes off his outer garments. He wraps a towel around himself. He kneels at his disciples' feet, and he washes their feet. And now when we read it, we think, my goodness, that's so amazing. That's so humble, and that's so beautiful, and it's inspiring. But at the time, that would have been shocking to his disciples. That wasn't the sort of thing that the Messiah would do. It's not the sort of thing that a rabbi would do. That wasn't even reserved for the lowest of the lowest Jewish servants. Only the Gentile servants would do that smelly, horrible job of washing the dirty, smelly feet of visitors. And Jesus looks at him and he says, "I've set you an example. You want to follow me? Then you wash one another's feet." That's what it's about. You remember that. This is most important. You wash one another's feet. Last week we saw Simon speaking on that. Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples." By what? When you love one another. When you wash one another's feet, when you forgive one another, when you extend grace to one another, then you will know, the world will know that you belong to me. And then this morning, we've got these words in John chapter 14, verse 1. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Do not let your hearts be troubled. Was that a reasonable statement for Jesus to make to his disciples? Do not let your hearts be troubled. You remember, as Simon was speaking last week, that during that passage that he read, Jesus said to his disciples, I'm leaving you. I'm going away. He could have been trying to explain this to them over the months before, but they hadn't quite got it. But here's black and white. He says to them, I'm leaving. I'm going away. And where I'm going, you cannot come. Just a few verses before this statement. Can you imagine the shock of that when they really understood that Jesus was serious, that he said, I'm going away, I'm leaving you. They'd invested 3 years of their life following Jesus around. They'd left behind their families, their friends, their livelihood to follow Jesus. They believed in him. They believed that he was the Messiah. They believed that he was the one who was going to come and restore the kingdom. And then he goes, I'm going. And in this moment in time where I'm going, you can't come. I'm not surprised they're a little bit shocked by that. Or they're a little bit anxious about that. Also within those few verses before that statement, Jesus has told them that one of the 12 is going to betray him. There's a betrayer amongst them. And even Simon Peter, who says literally just two verses before, I will lay down my life for you, Jesus. Jesus says to him, really? Really, Peter? You're really going to lay down your life for me? Let me tell you this. You're going to deny me 3 times before the cock even crows. No wonder they're anxious. No wonder their hearts are troubled. But Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust. Trust. Instead of being troubled, I want you to trust. Trust in what? Trust in who? What does it mean to trust? This is what the Oxford Dictionary says. It says, to trust is to have a firm belief in the reliability, the truth, or the ability of someone or something. To trust is to have complete confidence, faith, assurance in someone or something. And Jesus says, I want you to trust. And in this passage in particular, there are 3 things he wants them to trust in. Firstly, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled, but trust in God. Trust also in me. He says, I want you to trust in me. I know you may not understand what's going on at the moment. I know you may not have got the whole picture, as it were, but it's good. I'm going away. And I want you to trust in me. You know, the reality is the most important decision that any one of us will ever make in this life. And we will have to make many decisions as we grow and as we develop and as we journey through life. All kinds of decisions on a daily basis, most of them totally irrelevant, but many really, really important, life-changing. But the most important one of all is this, it's to put our trust in Jesus Christ. That's the most important decision, the most important choice that any of us can ever make, that anybody who's ever been born could ever make, to say yes to Jesus. We may not understand everything, we may not get it all, but if when we come to that place and say, Jesus, you know, I don't understand all this Christianity stuff, I don't understand, you know, everything about life, I don't understand why you allow this to happen, that to happen, but I just want to say, help me to trust you. Help me to have faith in you. Help me to put my hand in yours and to walk together and to allow you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, to change me, to transform me, and to do that work that only you can do. The most important decision. We can trust. And when we do that, we can trust that our salvation, that our lives are secure in him. You know, how confident are you? If you've come and put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you've made that commitment to him, do you ever doubt? Do you ever worry about, am I really saved? I mean, what's going to happen, you know, when I die? Am I really secure? Do I really believe God loves me? You know, the reality is we're all going to doubt at some time. The doubt, you know, can I really trust God? Is he really got my best interests? Can I trust him to take care of me? Do you ever have those questions? Do you know, it's normally about this time, I had this minor kind of like little 60 seconds meltdown. And it happened when I opened my annual pension leaflet to tell me what I was going to get. And I take it out, I look at it, I go, and I put it down, I go, oh my goodness. And then I go, forgive me, Lord, I know that I can trust you to provide for me. It's not down to the Baptist Union. It's not even in some ways down to me or down to you or to whoever puts into my pension. I know the Lord will provide for us. He always has and he always will. But just for a second, you look and you go, how's that possible? It's possible because Jesus promises. And that we can trust him. We can trust him for our salvation. We can trust him for our security in this life. For all the things we need. Not necessarily what we want. But he promises to give us those things. Maybe for those of you who are here this morning and you've never actually come to that place where you can honestly say in your heart of hearts that you've opened up your life and said, I want to trust in you, Jesus, with everything. And you may be thinking, well, I'm not sure because there's so many different ways, you know, we can get to God. And, I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket, as it were. Jesus made it clear. Totally politically incorrect statement in today's terms that he makes. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That statement today is not seen as a good one. It's seen as a very exclusive one. But the reality is that is, as I see it, is a very inclusive one. John 3:16 tells us that if anyone, it doesn't matter where they're born, it doesn't matter their education, it doesn't matter their gender, it doesn't matter their faith roots, anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, I am one way. He didn't say there are many ways you can go to get to God. You can go the motorway, you can go the scenic route, you can go the dual carriageway. No, he said, I am the way, the only way. I am the gate by which you must enter through to find life, to find peace with God. And we can trust him in that. The second area, he says, you can trust as this, there's a place. You can trust in a person, that's Jesus. You can trust in a place. In verse 2, he says, in my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. We have a home. We have a home. And there's a place that Jesus is preparing for you. For you. For you. For me. And it's going to be great. It's going to be good. It's called heaven. Where is it? Well, the scriptures talk about the heavens being where God lives, his dwelling place. It's the place where Jesus is right now. Jesus spoke of heaven as being like paradise, didn't he, to the guy who was on the cross dying next to him. What does it really look like? We don't really know, do we? We can have an idea. It's a story about the multi-millionaire who died and went up to heaven. And he came to the gates and he had a great big suitcase with him. And St. Peter goes out and says, "Oh, welcome. I'm really sorry, but you can't come in with that suitcase though." So he says, "Oh, please, please. I've spent my whole life acquiring all this stuff. And the majority of it I've left behind, but this is the most special, the most precious stuff I've acquired in all my life. I must come in with it." And Peter said, "We've got the rules, mate. The rules are rules. Sorry, you've got to leave it behind." And he starts to cry. And he goes, "Please, you don't understand how precious this stuff is." So Peter's intrigued and he goes, "My goodness. Okay, look, put it on the table, open it up and show me why it's so special. And I'll think about it." The guy's excited. He puts the suitcase on the table. He opens up and his face just beams with great joy. It's full of gold bars. And Peter just looks at him rather puzzled and says, "You want to bring pavement into heaven? We got loads of this. We don't need any more." What does it look like? We don't really know. Scriptures say maybe it's paved with gold. Maybe they're gold toilets like President Trump's. We don't really know, but this is what it says in Revelation 21. He said, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who is seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.'" What's heaven like? Heaven is a place where God is. Heaven is a place of peace. Heaven is a place of joy. Heaven is a place of no death and no sin and no sickness and no mourning. As Jesus says, it's paradise. And it's for you. It's for you. It's for you. It's really important that we get this, right? That we're actually just pilgrims passing through. That this place that is all around us isn't really our home. You know, with God's grace, we make it our home while we're here, but we are just passing through. And why is it important we get that? Because if we understand that we are pilgrims on a journey home, and that our real home, our real place of dwelling is with God for all eternity in paradise, then it will help us to live differently. It will help us to have a right perspective in life as we journey through this life. It will help us not to hang on to things and not to acquire things that we just build and build. And it will help us to live courageously. It will help us to live generously how God wants us to live. Because we cannot take any of it with us. It's all going to be furnished already. And it's rent free. We don't need to take anything with us. It's a precious place. It's a special place. And we can trust in the Lord that it exists. The third and the final promise that Jesus makes is this. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Jesus makes this promise that he is coming back. Of course, the disciples were troubled. He just told them he was going away, but he says to them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust me. Trust in the things I say. Trust in the things I do. Heaven is real. Trust in that place. And thirdly, trust that I'm coming back for you. I'm coming back for you. One day, Jesus is coming back again. When? We don't know. Not even Jesus knows. In Matthew 24, I think it was, Jesus says himself that no one knows. The angels don't know. The Son of Man doesn't know. Only the Father knows the day and the time. So all these predictions that we've had over the years where people have said that Jesus is returning, they can't be true. But I wonder, if you did know that Jesus was going to return in the next 48 hours or so, what would you do differently to what you're doing now? How would you live? How would you act? What would you do that is different? See, Jesus is coming again. And he's going to take us to be with him. His words to his disciples were, do not let your hearts be troubled. Maybe that's his word to us this morning. There are so many things in life that trouble us, that weigh us down, that cause us to be anxious and stressed and pressured. We're human. And we carry this stuff around us. And it causes us to lack peace. It causes us to be unwell at times. Whatever those things are that maybe are in your life that are causing you to be troubled, Jesus says to them, why don't you give them to me today? And why don't you trust me? You can trust me with your very life. For those who put their faith in me, there's assurance of salvation. No one can snatch you out of my hands. For those who put their faith in me, I will provide for you whatever you need in this life. And we can trust him with our futures, both here and in the life to come. May we pray. Let's pray.